a UK World Heritage expert, has said that we should be on the UNESCO World Heritage listing. It's pretty exciting stuff. As we look at hidden history, our history expert Charles Fay joins us as usual on this Thursday morning. Charles, good morning to you. How are you?
All right, Mark. Thanks.
That's pretty exciting news, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be banking on it happening quickly. There's a lot of research and, I suppose, presentation that has to be made to the World Heritage body in Paris. It's a very drawn-out process.
Yeah, well, obviously most of these things are. But I guess what it does say is that, and what this expert said, is that you know, we probably have amongst the world's best in terms of keeping the old goldfields, not as they were necessarily, but certainly keeping them in good nick and good heritage, that sort of thing.
Oh, I think we've got wonderful sites. I mean, for example, you know, the great alluvial rushes took place in California in 1848 and Victoria in 1851. Well, in the case of California, most of the sort of remains of the alluvial rushes have all been destroyed by sort of later mining methods, whereas in Victoria we've got the fantastic Mount Alexander alluvial diggings.
We sort of dodged a bullet, though, didn't we? Because certainly, you know, in the 50s and 60s, it seemed to be pretty much part of Australia's cultural history to look at anything that was old and fantastic. Ah, let's knock this down or let's fill this in and build some monstrosity instead. So we're lucky that that didn't happen, as we discussed the other week, actually, with the water wheel in Smeaton. They couldn't blow it up, which was good luck.
Yeah, I think we're very lucky. I mean, back in the late 1950s, early 1960s, lots of small regional towns and regional cities thought that they were sort of missing out on development, and a lot of them felt that the buildings and the gold fields made them look old-fashioned. Mm. So things like lace verandas were seen as sort of old-fashioned and also as a sort of hazard to cars. So in the early 60s, lots of those verandas were removed, lots of buildings were demolished, and I suppose it was only in the mid-60s that the National Trust and locals started to fight against this.
Yeah, and when you look at some of the architectural designs of the late 60s, early 70s, I reckon there's a few architects should be taken out and beaten to within an inch of their lives, because there was, I don't know whether in 100 years we'll look back at them and say, oh, doesn't that, you know, granite block look fantastic as a building? But I don't know, I can't see it happening, but who knows?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of them. There must be some modern buildings in the gold fields that sort of are significant, but I can't think of any.
I don't think we've done too badly here, but certainly in some of the cities and that, when you see them. One of the great things to me about all this, you know, focus on the gold fields in terms of UNESCO is the fact that I think sometimes we live in an area and go about our lives without necessarily recognising just the importance of the area in which we live from an historical perspective.
I think that's very true. I mean, when we sort of live in a place like Bendigo or Castlemaine, and when you put them all together, we're looking at an area that in the mid-19th century was a sort of the place that attracted thousands and thousands of migrants. So in world terms, it was very significant as a place, a destination for migrants. And they brought with them this tremendous sort of culture, which we've still got remarkable remains from.
Yeah. And do you reckon there's still a little bit of gold out there in them thar hills?
They're still scuffing the gold out at Fosterville, I think, in Victoria.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they are, yeah.
I'm not convinced there is in central Victoria, because there was so many sort of unemployed miners working on a system known as tributing, working through Bendigo. So I reckon Bendigo's been picked over pretty well.
Yeah. Might just get a few odds and sods if you're out there with the, you know, the metal
detector. With the
metal detector. Yeah. So, which is still a very popular thing to do. A lot of people love doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah, as long as they don't sort of wreck other sites, Mark. Sort of old household house halves and things like that. So
yeah. But yeah, it is exciting, and we still, you know, as you said, with a lot of the buildings, we're lucky that they weren't pulled down. But all those different migrants you were talking about in closing, Charles, they actually brought that, and we've said about the, you know, the German influence in some of the architecture in Bendigo, and you know, in and around here and Ballarat and in between, we've got some absolutely beautiful buildings to match the goldfields themselves.
Yeah, as well as buildings, we've got some very interesting sort of, I suppose you'd call them, archaeological sites. Like, Bendigo listeners might want to go up to Victoria Hill, where there was an open-cut mine built by German miners in the 1850s and 60s. Out around Smeaton, there's remains of what were known as deep alluvial mines. Yeah. So as well as buildings, there's some fantastic sites.
Yes, indeed. No, we're very lucky, that's for sure. And as you say, it might take some time, but at least it's happening now, the steps towards between Bendigo and Ballarat on behalf of 13 other shires. So exciting times ahead from an historical perspective, Charles, and we appreciate you taking the time to have a chat to us this morning.
Okay, thanks, Mark. I think we'll learn a lot about our locality as they prepare the case too, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Yep, good on you, Charles. We'll talk next week.
Okay, Mark, catch you.